And our phone lines, they're open to you right now at 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Love to have you join us this morning. Of course, we've got our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial along this morning. We've got CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. Got our telephone number, 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. The website for Kloss Financial, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. And of course, their telephone number at the office, 608-442-5637. Don't forget, no charge for that initial get to know you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. CJ, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing really well. We were talking about Rockford earlier this morning, as a matter of fact.
And interesting.
Yeah, you've
good,
got a,
good things, I suppose.
Yeah, I think Rockford's a great little town right on the river. I use it when I want to avoid paying tolls. You
That's
know,
right? I forgot you drive
all
you
the time
drive down the side roads. I forgot about that.
Yes, and it is side roads. They send you through Waze. My mapping tool sends me down some strange. But I always love driving by the office down there. Yeah. And typically, it's still very early in the morning. Not open yet, but if you don't know this, folks, Kloss Financial, of course, two locations, the location right here in Madison as well as a location in Rockford as well. Speaking of two, the number two, our good buddy Eric Schwartz joins us as well from Kloss Financial. Eric, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great, Sean. I'm a little worried about you giving away your secrets to avoid tolls. You had to keep that quiet.
Yes, I am. Although they're better now, it used to be back in the day when you'd have to go through and throw money in the buckets. Oh, it's just such a... So anyway, I digress. We've got important stuff. Speaking of money, taxes. We're going to talk this week about tax shifts and things folks need to be aware of when it comes to planning and looking forward to, or I guess we're in 2025, so we're really looking forward to the next time we have to do taxes, but getting ready to do that and deal with that. So we'll talk with CJ and Eric about just that this morning. Mention the website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A AASfinancial.com. Telephone number 608-442-5637. You want to hold on to that telephone number a little later on the program. You have a chance to win with our Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. The folks from Kloss Financial have provided a fantastic prize for you, a $25 gift card to Sephora. Little tip, listen closely to the program because oftentimes both the question and answer to the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week comes up during the program. And speaking of the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week, before we get rolling on this week's conversation, let's actually take a look back at last week's show and get the question and answer there as well.
Yeah, so first off, thanks everyone for listening to our show, and we hope you have a little bit of fun with our Kloss Quiz Question of the Week that comes at the end of every show. But last week we were talking about Social Security, and we actually got into some details on Social Security that we normally don't, and so it's kind of a fun show. If you missed it, go back and listen to the podcast. It's on our website. But our Kloss Quiz Question of the Week last week was a true or false question, and the question was, true or false, your full retirement age, also known as FRA, is the age at which you become eligible to receive your full unreduced Social Security retirement benefit. And our winner from last week was Maria from Stoughton, who answered that question as true. So as Sean said, listen closely to the question at the end of our show today, and you could be the winner.
It's going to be an exciting program, definitely worth paying attention to. Don't forget, though, sometimes we know in the morning you step out, maybe you're grabbing some coffee, picking up, dropping off the grandkiddos or kiddos, of course, with school and other things. You might miss part of the show. Don't forget, you can always listen back to the podcast. Subscribe as well at klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. So today the topic, it's quite timely, and we're going to do some updates on some tax shifts that folks should be aware of as we begin 2025 and consider when it comes to planning. Is that correct, Eric?
Yeah, that's correct, Sean.
Yes.
You know, the IRS is, they are always coming forward with updates every year. Sometimes it's, you know, just inflationary adjustments. Sometimes we're talking about changes in the tax code. But we're going to talk today about planning for our taxes for 2025. We're going to look at some changes for 2025 and some of them that have been put in place here in the last couple of years because they're pretty important. But as an aside, we're really excited to announce that just this year we have brought tax services in-house at Kloss Financial. So for our clients, this is a nice little add-on service that we can offer and kind of bring their whole financial situation together under one roof. So we're pretty excited about that. But you know, getting back here to our topic today, we know that a lot of people are still thinking about their tax situation for 2024. You know, we haven't been able to file those yet. The IRS is going to be accepting 2024 tax returns starting January 27th for our early birds, with the tax deadline of April 15th, and then the extension for filers who elect that, that's going to be October 15th, 2025. But you know, we're planners here, so we want to get ahead and talk about tax planning for 2025. Often, you know, people will go see their tax professional at tax time, and unfortunately at that point, it's often really too late to take advantage of some of the strategies you might use to reduce your tax burden. So we want to get ahead of that and start talking about 2025 right now. So the first change that I wanted to address here is the standard deduction change in 2025. So because the standard deduction was increased with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, it's become much more common for folks to use the standard deduction rather than to itemize their deductions. And the standard deduction, which this is, you know, the specific dollar amount that the IRS provides each year that reduces the amount of income without having to come up with a whole bunch of other itemized deductions. For married couples who are filing jointly for 2025, it is rising up to $30,000. So that's about an $800 increase from last year. And for single taxpayers and married individuals who file separately, the standard deduction is rising to $15,000 for 2025. So that's an increase of about $400 over last year. And then for folks who are filing head of household, standard deduction will be $22,500 for 2025, and that's about a $600 increase from last year.
Talking this morning with Eric Schwartz and CJ Kloss. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. You can learn more online about them, KlossFinancial.com. Fantastic website. Telephone number 608-442-5637. So, Eric, what about tax rates? What are we seeing as far as the brackets there?
Yeah, the marginal tax rates for 2025, we're not seeing any major changes there. The top rate remains 37% for individual single taxpayers whose income is greater than $626,350. So you got to make quite a bit of money to hit that top bracket. And for married couples filing jointly, it's, you know, about $751,600 that your income has to exceed before you see that 37% rate. From there, though, no major changes to the marginal tax rates. You know, we have the 35, 32, 24, 22, 12, and 10% income tax brackets. And just a reminder for folks, just because you are in, let's say, the 22% income marginal income tax bracket, that doesn't mean that every dollar you earn is going to be taxed at 22%. This is a really common misconception we see with clients. It is just the amount over and above where that limit begins. So, for example, let's say the 22% tax bracket for married couples filing jointly, that starts at $96,950. But that does not mean that every dollar is taxed at 22%, only the dollars that exceed that $96,950 threshold. And this is kind of really getting into the weeds, but we often hear from people that are really concerned. Oh no, I went into the 22% bracket. Now I'm going to have to pay way more in tax. Keep in mind, it's not the end of the world. It is just those dollars over and above the threshold.
What about earned income tax credits, Eric?
Yeah, so that amount is going to be $8,046. Really specific number there for qualifying taxpayers who have three or more qualifying children. That's a small increase of about $216 from 2024. Moving on to RMD adjustments. This one is really, really near and dear to us here at Kloss because we talk about RMDs in our day-to-day and on the show a lot as well. So required minimum distributions from your retirement accounts. One change that took effect, it's now been 2 years, was the increase of the RMD age to 73. So remember, it was originally 70 and a half, then it went to 72, then it was pushed back to 73. But for people who were born in 1960 or later, that age is actually up to 75 now. So keep in mind, you can distribute funds from your retirement accounts anytime after age 59 and a half without penalty. And in many cases, these funds were invested pre-tax, so they were they reduced your taxable income when you put them into the account, which means that you will have to pay taxes once the funds are distributed, either as regular income or in the case of an RMD. So in the case of an RMD, that keep in mind here, you may already be taking enough to satisfy the RMD if you're drawing money out as part of your retirement income. So for some folks, RMDs don't actually impact them directly because they're already satisfying it through normal distributions. But the penalty for missing RMDs, so this is something that we've talked about before. If you forget to take that required minimum amount before, in the year that you are required to, the IRS used to issue a penalty of 50% of the shortfall. Okay, so that's a huge penalty. 50% of the amount that you did not take out that you were supposed to. But back in 2023, they dropped that down to 25% of the shortfall. And if you actually correct that in what they deem a timely manner, which, you know, is, I suppose, up to interpretation. But if you do that in a timely manner, they're going to reduce that penalty to 10% of the shortfall. Last one here on RMDs that I wanted to talk about, and this one is something that we never really understood why it was the way it was before to begin with, but that's the elimination of required minimum distributions for the Roth portion of your retirement accounts. So think of your, you know, your 401k or your 403b that you've put Roth dollars into. Mm-hmm. This change actually took effect for 2024, but we want to highlight it because it's a pretty big change. And like I said, it was something that never really made sense to us because, like, a Roth IRA, that doesn't have a required minimum distribution. But a Roth 401k, a Roth 403b, Roth 457, and, you know, the Roth portion of the Thrift Savings Plan for some of our federal employees, those were all subject to required minimum distributions. But beginning last year, RMDs are no longer required on any type of Roth retirement savings account. So this allows individuals to keep their Roth accounts really wherever they want. They're not forced to roll it over to a Roth IRA to avoid RMDs. And not that these RMDs were taxable coming from the Roth portion, but if you think about it, those Roth dollars are some of your most powerful dollars. And if you don't have to take them out of the Roth portion and you don't have to give up that tax-free growth, that's definitely going to be preferable. So this is a good change in our minds.
Starting to make – it makes a little more sense, too, right?
Yeah.
As we talk this morning with Eric Schwartz and CJ Kloss, they are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. You can learn more online. They've got a great website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. If you haven't been there recently, head on over. You can learn more about the team at Kloss Financial. They're separate divisions. Also, you can sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. It's a weekly email that comes in your inbox. It's got a little snapshot of what's been going on in the markets. Also a link to the most recent podcast that available at klossfinancial.com. Their telephone number 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get to know you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-442-5637. What about contribution limits? We'll get the details on that and so much more as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA. Talking with our retirement planning professionals, CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. They come to us from Kloss Financial, website klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Our telephone number 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-442-5637. Looking through the year 2025, when it comes to changes to tax law and some things to keep in mind as we move through the year this morning, And CJ, bringing you in on the conversation. What about limits when it comes to contributions in our 2025 retirement accounts?
Yeah, this is really important as you kind of adjust your expectations for 2025 as it relates to saving for the future. So some additional limits for you to be aware of as we head into the 2025 calendar year here. So contribution levels to employer-sponsored retirement plans have increased. So here we're talking about like 401ks, 403bs, 457s, and federal thrift savings plans. In 2025, these maximum elective deferral contributions, as we call them, have increased to $23,500 if you're under the age of 50, with an additional $7,500 catch-up if you're over the age of 50. So $23,500 for basically everybody, plus $7,500 extra, known as a catch-up contribution, if you're over the age of 50. So we often will just talk about these as two big different numbers. Like if you're under 50, it's $23,500. If you're over 50, it's $31,000. But interestingly, if you log in online, they're going to ask you to make contributions to those two buckets separately, which is kind of weird. You go, oh, wait, what? I've got to max out the elective deferral, and then I've got to also max out the catch-up contribution. It's just a little bit wonky. But IRA contribution levels have remained the same from last year to this year. So if you're under the age of 50, the max you can put into an IRA, assuming you're eligible, is $7,000. And then if you're over 50, there's a $1,000 catch-up for an additional $1,000, totaling $8,000 for the year. Now, interestingly enough, we talked about this actually last week a little bit, but under a change made in Secure Act 2.0, there is a higher catch-up contribution limit on employer-sponsored retirement plans for individuals who are specifically age 60, 61, 62, and 63, and who participate in one of the employer-sponsored retirement plans. So again, just those 4 years, there's actually a higher catch-up contribution amount. Not the $7,500 I was talking about, but actually it goes up to $11,250 in the catch-up for a total of $34,750. So interestingly enough, Eric and I and our firm view this as a very good thing, just kind of wonky, right? Like, wait a minute, there's a third level of complexity here now. So now it's like if you're under 50, it's 23,500. If you're over 50, it's 75, an additional 7,500. But if you're specifically 60, 61, 62, and 63, it's actually 11,250. So I hope you're laughing with me. As great as it is, it just adds another layer of complexity.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Don't forget, you can find them online, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And CJ, as we work through this stuff, what about QCDs? We haven't touched on those yet.
Yeah, so before I move on to that, you know, I like to kind of poke at and make fun of occasionally complexity, but I do want to circle back. This is a good thing. Mm-hmm. If you are going to be 60, 61, 62, or 63 this year and you are still working, eligible to contribute to an employer-sponsored retirement plan, do speak with your employer, your 401k provider, or even your financial advisor to see if you should be trying to max that out. But yes, QCDs. So goodness, you all know our industry loves our acronyms. So QCDs, this is short for Qualified Charitable Distributions. We discuss this area quite frequently. And the two, the QCDs kind of interact with your RMDs. So let me say that differently. Qualified Charitable Distributions have some level of interaction with your required minimum distributions. So let me explain what I mean here. If you contribute to a charity, under normal circumstances, assuming you're not over 70 and a half, your only way to benefit by those contributions to the charity on your taxes would be for your itemized deductions, which includes charitable and a bunch of other things, would be for your itemized deductions to exceed the standard deduction, which, as Eric just talked about, is less common given how high the standard deduction is now. Well, one, we'll call it get-out-of-jail-free card, is the way that QCDs interact with RMDs. So when you become required to pull money out of your pre-tax retirement account through this thing called the required minimum distribution, for most Americans that's now 73 or 75. When that happens, if you don't need that income, or furthermore, you don't want it because it's going to push you up into higher tax brackets or cause other tax issues for you, your get out of jail free card is just to take that money and do what are called qualified charitable distributions. This is not giving to the charities out of your checking account anymore. You'd have to work with your advisor to say, I don't want to give out of my checking account. I want to give directly from my IRA to the charity. And in so doing, two things are happening. Number one, you're meeting your required minimum distribution by doing this. So said another way, those QCDs count towards meeting your minimum. And then secondarily, you're not paying income taxes on that money. It's counted, right? It shows up as a distribution, but there's just no tax withholding off of it. So you get the idea. It's like, whoa, so what you're saying, CJ, is there's no itemization. Basically, said another way, My first dollar that comes out as a QCD has a tax reductive value to it. Whereas if I give out of my checking account, I might need to do, you know, 20 some thousand dollars worth of gifts before it has any tax benefit. So word to the wise, you don't need to know all the logistics of this. What you do need to know is that if you are old enough to have required minimum distributions and you are giving to charities of substantial amount and you are not doing it out of your IRA, you're missing out. You should probably go talk to your accountant or your financial advisor to change the way in which you are giving to charities. Now, as it relates to this, there used to be a maximum annual QCD amount that you could do that was established like 17 years ago. But now these maximum kind of qualified charitable distributions are linked to inflation. So the max you can do in any calendar year, or sorry, as of 2025, is $108,000. That's the max you can do in QCDs.
Talking corner, CJ Kloss, and of course, Eric Schwartz of Kloss Financial, and this Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, website klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. CJ, any other notes when it comes to RMDs?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, again, I like to poke every once in a while at things that we think are funny. Although Eric and I would both attest, I actually think Secure Act 1.0 and 2.0 did a wonderful job of cleaning up a lot of unnecessary complexity. So truly, I think both Eric and I think really good piece of legislation overall. Now, one thing they didn't clean up, which is still a little bit wonky, is you're actually eligible to do qualified charitable distributions at 70 and a half, which used to be the age that your required minimum distributions would begin. It's not anymore. Now it's 73 or 75. So you can actually do qualified charitable distributions as early as age 70 and a half, but you're just not required to make minimum distributions until 73 or 75, which the reason this is wonky, everybody, is because the real benefit here is not claiming the extra income. That's one of the biggest benefits. And so for us, having those two linked by age makes more sense. But listen, it's not a bad thing. I would just say to you, you're actually eligible to do qualified charitable distributions before you're required to perform minimum distributions. So again, if you're over 70 and a half, you're not doing qualified charitable distributions and you're giving a lot to charities, go speak with your accountant or advisor. Now, another thing here. Another kind of change as we head into 2025 is that additional employer contributions are now eligible for Roth treatment. This is interesting. So remember, the laws used to be, hey, when I contribute to a 401k plan, they might match my contributions. You've heard us over and over say to you, don't leave free money on the table. So if they're going to match you 50 cents on the dollar up to 6%, make sure you're putting in six to get their three, right? So always get the free money. Well, what we also used to say to you is regardless of the way that you save into the plan, whether it was Roth or pre-tax, all of the employer money, so the money coming from your employer as a match, would always be pre-tax. Didn't matter if you were contributing Roth, they were going to give you pre-tax money. Well, amazingly, this has now changed as we head into 2025. And this is assuming your plan allows for this, by the way. So you would need to talk to your employer. But now you could say, hey, my income is low enough or I'm young enough that I want to do a Roth 401k contribution up to, say, 6%. And the 3% that they're going to put in for me, I want them to do that money as Roth. Okay. Now, word to the wise, this means that that money that they're putting in for you has to be taxed. So actually, as great as that is, that they can put Roth money in for you, that kind of dilutive pattern of their money going in as Roth is just going to further reduce your net paycheck. Mm. So warning, warning, warning. As much as we love this, I love choice, I don't think a lot of people are going to pick up on the consequences of their choice. So make sure, again, talk to your advisor, your accountant, even your spouse, to make sure that the take-home pay is enough to kind of meet the bills.
CJ, I might do that in reverse order. I might.
Yeah, good point. Talk to the spouse first, yeah. And then the accountant.
Anything else as far as IRAs and things that we need to know for 2025, CJ?
Yeah, so the IRS has also phased out income ranges for IRAs. So for single taxpayers covered by a workplace retirement plan, the phase-out range for a traditional IRA is between $79,000 and $89,000 in 2025. You know, similarly, the income limit for Roth IRAs is also higher in 2025. So the maximum you can earn and still contribute to a Roth IRA is $165 if you're a single taxpayer or single filer, head of household. And that's up from $153 last year. Okay. And if you're married filing jointly, this again is for Roth IRA contributions, your joint modified adjusted gross income must be under $240,000. So listen, everybody, I've been doing this for a long time. I know to hear this and how to apply this. Mm-hmm. It actually took me, and this is being in the industry, it actually took me, maybe I'm slow, like 5 to 7 years to understand what the heck this meant. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of understood the concept. Like, okay, there's some limit. If I earn too much, then I can't do the thing. But how it got applied, and then it was like I heard this thing of, well, you know, you can always contribute to an IRA. It just may or may not be deductible. And I was like, what? What? So what is the phase out for if I can still contribute? All very confusing to me. What I'd say is, if you understand this, great. It means you're smarter and faster than me. If you don't, you're in good company. Even people who do this for a living, it takes them a while to warm up to all of it. So this is why people like us have jobs. Feel free to call us, talk to your accountant, talk to your advisor, and make sure that you are avoiding problems. Many times people just do the same behavior over and over and over until they suddenly find out they weren't eligible for it. And then they've got to go back and amend multiple years of tax returns. So this is kind of my sly way of saying to you, you may want to have a financial advisor who at least you meet with occasionally just to make sure you're not running afoul of any of the rules.
And you mentioned CJ giving you a call. Of course, telephone number for Kloss Financial, 608-442-5637. Really cool thing. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number is 608-442-5637. The website, klossfinancial.com. That's klossfinancial.com. Remember watching weekend programming, they'd always say, but wait, there's more, and there is more, and we'll talk about that next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA. Talking this morning with Eric Schwartz and CJ Kloss. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. The website, klossfinancial.com. Telephone number 608-442-5637. Just moments away from the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. We'll do that in just a minute. But first, as mentioned, there is more that we need to be aware of. And Eric, what are some of those other changes that folks need to be queuing in on this time of year or this year?
Yeah, Sean, I just had two more really, really important topics to discuss here, both having to do with education funding. And the first one is really exciting. It's starting this year, and it's the student loan match benefit. So this is an opportunity where employers are now able to match employee student loan payments with matching payments to their retirement account. So basically, this gives an employer an opportunity to reward the repayment of educational loans. So this means if your employer offers it, again, like CJ mentioned before, every plan is different. But if your employer offers to match your 401k contributions, you could get matched dollars into your 401k or 403b without ever having to deposit your own funds into your retirement account. So we always say, don't leave free money on the table. Make sure you're getting the employer match at least in your retirement savings plan. But especially when people are just starting out, we realize that, you know, you have to make decisions about, you know, what you can and can't do financially. But this is an opportunity for people to, you know, pay down their educational debt and get a retirement contribution. So it gives the opportunity to not have to choose between paying down debt and saving for retirement. So check with your employer to see if this is available. If you are repaying student loans, and hopefully we can get you a little bit more put into your retirement accounts. And the last thing I want to talk about here is the something that came about as a result of SECURE Act 2.0, and it has to do with 529 college savings plans. So what this provision does is it allows unused funds from a 529 educational savings plan to actually be rolled over to a Roth IRA. So now remember, 529 plans, they are to be used for educational expenses. And if you don't use them for an educational expense, there can be some tax and penalty due on the distribution. And we hear this from people all the time. You know, it's great that, you know, you get the tax-free growth. It's great that I can get a, you know, a state tax deduction. But I don't want to put money into the 529 because, you know, if my child decides not to go to college or, you know, their college doesn't, isn't like a traditional four-year program, it's shorter and it doesn't cost as much. I just don't want to have my hands tied, which makes a ton of sense. But what we've seen in recent years is the IRS has really been trying to quell some of that fear by adding some flexibility to the allowable distributions from a 529. And this is probably, I think, one of the coolest ones. So what it allows them to do, them being the beneficiary, is they can take up to $35,000, okay, of remaining balance in a 529. So maybe that's, you know, they didn't spend all the money on school, maybe they didn't go to school, and they can use that $35,000 to start saving for retirement. Okay, so they can use that $35,000 to make an annual Roth IRA contribution up to the limit, which CJ mentioned this earlier. It's $7,000 for folks under 50 and $8,000 for people 50 and older. And they can take, you know, let's say they have $35,000 left in a college savings plan. They can make 5 years of contributions to their Roth IRA using those $529 without penalty. And they're actually putting those dollars to good use for their future.
That's a really good tool, made even better as we talked this morning with Eric Schwartz and CJ Kloss. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. The website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Our telephone number, 608-442-5637. You want to hold on to that telephone number because it's time now for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. In just a moment, I'll ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first call with the correct answer, you win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Sephora. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this. What is the new standard deduction for single taxpayers in 2025? Is it $10,000 or $15,000? Telephone number 608-442-5637. First call with the correct answer, win the $25 gift card to Sephora. And again, that's Kloss Financial's office right here in Madison. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment. It is complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-442-5637. CJ, Eric, it's always fantastic chatting with you guys. You have a great day.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Dr. Marty Greer comes your way next right here, 1310 WIBA.